Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
Good Monday. We're spending a week in South Carolina this week. It's like my home away from my home away from home. We'll probably end up talking about that throughout the week here on the Music America podcast. We begin with a visit to Charleston, and our guest will be River Mason, our first guest. We'll talk with River in just a moment. Speaking of River, River Ridge Farm in Jeffersonville, Vermont, is Vermont's recreation lover's dream. It's this gorgeous vacation rental nestled in the Green Mountains of Vermont. River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville is an escape to everything wonderful Vermont has to offer. This historic farmhouse is set atop 16 acres of fields with mountainous views, pasture, a pond, tree-lined river frontage, live farm animals. Go out and visit this beautiful spot in the heart of the Green Mountain State, along with the multiple nearby mountain resorts, ski resorts, whatever, breweries, microbreweries, biking and hiking trails, and other tourist activities. This spot is unique due to the multiple mountain views and that thing I just mentioned, the resident farm animals. When you set up your meeting or you set up your guest stay with Diana, tell her about interacting or ask her about interacting with the farm animals. The goats and pigs love to be pet and you'll have fun with it too. Or just kick back and stay in this comfortable modern farmhouse. It sleeps 11 guests easily. There's enough space to throw an event like a CD release party or just relax and rejuvenate in the beautiful Vermont landscape. Check them out, River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville. They're on Facebook by searching River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville. Same with Airbnb, River Ridge Farms Jeffersonville, Vermont's recreation lover's dream. And speaking of rivers, River Mason is our guest here on the Music America podcast from Charleston, but not really from Charleston originally, right, River?
That is correct.
Ohio man.
Yeah, I grew up most of my life in Ohio, but as soon as I turned 18, I found the first excuse to get the heck up out of there.
And you said something that was real interesting about Ohio that it never really dawned on me because of what you said. You think of Ohio, you think of Cleveland, you think of Cincinnati, you think of Dayton, but you've got some real rural areas there.
Yeah, everywhere in between is pretty much agricultural communities and rural people. My granddaddy was a farmer, and my other granddaddy on the other side, he was a musician, a painter, construction guy, and, you know, he built his kind of shack in the woods. So I had a lot of that in my family.
I love how you describe that, too, as like your hillbilly roots, right?
That's it.
So is your grandfather, is that where you started playing music? Did he get you going?
Granddaddy, Mr. Terry, Terry Boffman, I tell you, he's a man, the myth, the legend. I always say if a quarter of the stuff that he ever said was true, he led a hell of a life.
I tell my kids all the time, man, I say, don't let a good story get in the way of the truth. Or don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, you know. Because I got these great stories that I'll tell about, but then they'll say, well, Dad, that didn't happen. I'm like, yeah, but it sounds really good.
And we've got a song on the record that we're going to be show today about him, so we can dive more about Terry and inspiration into that on Granddaddy's Telly a little bit later.
But, was that the first thing you played though? Was a guitar?
Yes, sir. It was.
Yeah. And to date, still play. Who did you grow up listening to then, other than your grandfather? Who'd you listen to on the radio?
Well, you know, I was kind of one of those misunderstood kind of outcast kids. So I listened to your stuff that wasn't necessarily as popular. Freddie Mercury at Queen's a big influence for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked the performance and theatrical and kind of epic arrangements that they're able to accomplish. And Brian May, man, he kills it on the guitar.
And sure does.
Inspiration for me. I can't seem to do those harmonies though, but one of these days I'm gonna try.
Well, it's tough to do harmonies when you're a one-man show, dude. I don't know if anybody told you that, but you can't really split your vocal cords, you know.
It couple people kind of, fall back on some of these harmonizer microphones, and the tech has come quite a long way from what they used to be. They sound pretty good in a live setting.
Some of them do. The first one, I bought an old one, I bought one years ago, and I just don't like it. When I try and play along with it, I'll put it on a one voice setting sometimes, because you get two or more voices, it just sounds so processed, and it just in your mind and in your head, you sound like the Eagles, but really you sound more like an eagle that's having his feathers torn out,
It really sounded right for the longest time, but I've heard that a couple of them have come a long way. Seen them a couple of times down in some of these basements of these open mic places here in Charleston.
Yeah.
With a looper pedal, these people are doing some pretty cool stuff with this, what I would consider also, kind of party tricks and cheat tricks. But music is music. If it's making me tap my foot, I don't give a damn what it is,
There you go. Yeah. Now, when you write, do you just set yourself up someplace and just say, I'm going to write? Or do you say, does inspiration just hit you one day and then you just sit right there and you start writing on the spot? Or how does that work with you?
So, it's a terrifying, terrifying notion to have like a cubicle or a corner and a desk and just go over there and sit and write. Because these come to me, I'll be in the shower. And, I'll grab my phone, dry off my hands, write a verse real quick, continue on my shower, or I'll throw on the voice recording. I'll be driving the car. I'll pull the dang car over immediately because I got a thought that pops up into my head. Uh-huh. So I try not to be a danger to society about it, but these songs have got to be written down. I believe that we are the world's poets and we are the ones that are putting words into like paintings.
Sure.
So I find it vitally important, not only for the greater good, but also for my own personal mental health.
But that's what comes to you first, though, is the lyric, right?
It normally is. Now, when I do a lot of electric guitar work, and when I am just kind of fiddling around with the Telecaster, some melodies will come to me. So it kind of comes all different ways. I could be listening to a song, pull a lyric, a small snippet from that, and end up writing a whole song about a hummingbird, Absolutely.
Yeah, I had a cat that would come and visit us on Sunday mornings. We'd be landing, Sunday mornings are, you just kind of don't want to get out of bed. You just kind of land there with your woman. You're like, let's get up. Cat jumped up on the bed. I grabbed the guitar and started writing a song called Sundays of Love, and that's just one of the things that happened. Just that moment inspired me, and I grabbed the guitar, and it was a melody I had in my head already. So all of a sudden the event, it all came together. Now it's a crap song, But at the time, it was really inspiring. That's where I am with writing. I'm trying to discern the difference between crap and garbage right now.
A big inspiration of mine is Willie Nelson. I've read every single book that he's ever put out. Full disclosure, I listen to him on the audio with things, but they're all the same. And he said the ratio is about 100 to 1. So you write 100 crap songs, and you might get good at them.
That's funny.
I've been filling up these notebooks. I do about 4, 5, 6 a year.
Uh-huh.
And I just I also use the apps. Just like if I don't have my notebook with me, the phone works just fine. Inspiration comes from everywhere. But 100 to 1 is about the ratio.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to write about another 100.
But you've already one down.
There we go. That's fun, though, man. I tell people this all the time. You can line up 100 songwriters, and 50 of them are going to do it one way, 30 of them are going to do it another way, and the other 20 are going to do like a little bit like this, a little bit like that, a little bit like that. But everybody's got like their own thing. One of my favorite stories is this lady up in Alaska that she drives around, not with her voice thing, but with a pencil or a pen, and any kind of scrap paper. If something comes to her, she just writes it down. It might be a gum wrapper, you know, and then she's got a bag and she throws all this stuff in a bag. And then when she decides it's time to write, she dumps the bag out on the table. She goes, and then it's like a jigsaw puzzle, man. I find this phrase goes with this phrase over here, and this came to me here, and this comes to me here. And, oh, that works really well together. And that's how she writes. Like, that's really clever.
It's amazing. I've got to have everything in a pretty clear cut format organized. But I think Eminem was the same way as that lady, to where he just write on anything that he could find.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought that was interesting.
Do you get, I've had this a lot too, do you get a lot of inspiration that comes to you in the middle of the night? You just wake up, grab and say something in your recorder and go back to bed?
Well, that would insinuate that I get much sleep at all, but I don't. If the songs are floating around, I can't go to sleep. So my wife went out and got me one of these fancy smart watches for like 30 minutes. Tracks my sleep, and I average about 3 to 4 to 5 hours a night.
In a row?
Every night, that they're scattered too. So.
I was going to say, quit bragging, man.
I've always been a burn the candle at both ends kind of one and not poets. And I feel like when the world's quiet sometimes, it produces a different type of a song. But also when the world's like real loud, sometimes you can draw inspiration from that too, and it might sound and act a little different.
I love that, the sounds of the world, how that influences. That's brilliant. It really is, because it's not just an event or something. It's the sounds of the world. It's all that encapsulates your world right then and there when you start writing. That's amazing. Yeah.
You know, we've got a pond out here. I live in some nice apartments, and they got like a sprinkler fountain that runs all the time.
Yeah.
That's music. It's all music. These frogs, when the sun goes down, the crickets, when the sun goes down, they're all, it's all music, and it's beautiful. And in order to be able to capture that into music was something that, you know, Willie Nelson was very good at his descriptions. Really picture for you, taking his time and really telling a story. And I really think that country music has, oh my goodness, there's the lizard. That's the first lizard I've seen all year. Hey, little buddy.
First lizard of a year. Sounds like a song.
Green little guy. Hi. Yeah, we seem to kind of strayed away from the storytelling, mainstream country music, you know, so it's almost hard for me to classify myself as a, you know, I guess I might be a traditionalist or Southern rock type of guy at this point.
I had a friend of my daughter's who played at their wedding, and he was going to be one of my first guests on the show. And he decided not to because he decided all his music was crap. But so I started listening to country music again because I hadn't listened to it in a long time. He goes, when did it all become about lists?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, that's what it is. And it's all about lists. I was like, dang, I didn't really realize that. And country music was so good for so long. And now it's gotten like mainstream like everything else. It's just like synthesized or, you know, synthetic. You know, it doesn't seem a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it just doesn't seem genuine.
There are some guys out there that are still doing the Lord's work, I tell you what.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they've got a good following, guys like Sturgill, guys like Jinx, guys like Childers.
Guys like River Mason.
And we're all going to come together because those types of people have already paved a little bit of this way. And I've watched Cody Jinx. I got tickets to him in 2015 or 14, something like that, for $15.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see him go from that to where he's at now is truly an inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something.
Willie Nelson's career and all I've ever known is him succeeding versus you get to see some of these artists that are really cutting their teeth and paying their dues.
Mm-hmm.
It provides a lot of that grand energizing energy for the inspiration to happen to keep moving forward in this really hard journey.
Do you see country music coming back to what it was maybe about 30 or 40 years ago, where it's like you were saying, more storytelling, more authentic and more about the music helping enhance the story and the story enhancing the music instead of it being something processed. Because I get that a lot from a lot of my contemporary country performers, that the way they write and the music that they write, they're a lot of them are inspired by Stapleton, what Stapleton did, you know. And I just think it's about time, and we're getting back to where country used to be.
It, you know, money is the root of all things, and music is also there. So this this really processed party country, rap country, whatever you want to call it, is really, really, really popular. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that don't even acknowledge that fact. But, you know, guys like Post Malone are even breaking over into the country genre. Doing it. You know, they're doing a really good job. So I fear that it might not. It might continue to be these, you know, B-level country artists that are really doing the real country music. But, I mean, you mentioned Chris Stapleton. It's those types of people that are going to keep... It's almost Americana at this point.
Right, right. That's the big umbrella term that everybody uses now is Americana.
And Tyler Childress, he did an acceptance speech, and he had a pretty good thing to say about it. He says, it's not, it's country. It's always been country. We don't need to change it. But yeah, with that other type of genre now kind of taken over, for better or for worse, it does need a new classification.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've always kind of leaned towards the outlaw country. Maybe that's my Willie Nelson inspiration kind of shining through, but...
more than likely.
Outlaw movement kind of stood for rebellion attitude and, you know, doing what you wanted to do instead of doing what they told you to do. And that kind of encompasses a whole range of genres, too. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm more than twice your age. And I remember when country was called country and western.
Sure.
There was a lot of cowboy music. And where is it? Where is it?
Some southern pockets of Texas, some east. Honky-tonks are still playing that. I've been all over the country now, dang near twice, and they're hard to find, but they're there.
It really is hard to find, and that's probably it. It's there, but where's Tommy Overstreet, you know? Where's Ed Bruce in the last cowboy song? You know, stuff like that. Whatever happened to sitting there with a harmonica and a guitar and, settling the cattle down and just strumming and singing a song? That image, you know?
You know, Jamie Johnson just came out with a new record. It sounds absolutely stellar, absolutely fantastic. We got guys like the Red Clay Strays that are killing it. 49 Esther are doing real good. I just think there's going to be a divide. And it's okay. I just hope that we can continue to keep the 808 drums out of the what you call real country music, you know?
Yep. I got another question about that, but I'm going to start getting into your music a little bit too. So the first song we're going to listen to is called This Far. Is that kind of a autobiographical song about your career?
A lot of them are autobiographical, but this one's more about, protecting your family. It's a pro-gun song.
Okay.
I'd always been a firm supporter of the Second Amendment, but I'd never actually felt the need to go out and keep my family safe in that way until I moved into a real rough neighborhood to try to save some money on rent.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was, I always supported that, but I never thought I'd have to take it this far to where firearms easily accessible through the house in case of a robbery or break-in or anything like that.
And the question I ask most responsible gun owners is this: how many people have your guns gone out and shot? Like, did any of them leave your house last night going out and shot anybody?
Right, right. There's a lot of common sense things that we are really ignoring for the push of, you know, getting rid of a lot of things and further restrictions. But there's also, there's a song later on that we'll talk about how we all need help. There is a duality there's a duality in life, and not everything's as black and white, right or left, as everybody would like to try to believe, or they'd like to try to sell it out to be. To where I think that we all agree that there's, you know, issues that those things are getting into the wrong hands, but we should still be able to have them.
Yeah, you know? Amen.
And we ought to be able to say, hey, bad things are happening, so maybe something should be adjusted a little tiny bit. But, you know, that's the duality of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because for every single person that agrees with track number one, is going to be a person who don't agree with track number one. So exists track number 13.
Well, I would say that the person that doesn't agree with track number one would be right by you should all hell break loose and they need some protection.
Full consensus. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What's that they say? There's no atheist in a foxhole, right?
I had not heard that term. That's good.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's an old military thing. There's no atheists in foxholes. Yeah. So let's listen to the first song. The song is called This Far. Our guest is River Mason from Charleston, South Carolina, here on the Music of America podcast.
I can hear you creeping around my back door. Got a 16-gauge waiting for the fall. Yeah, I stand for my right to bear arms. Yeah, I just didn't think that I'd ever have to take this far. Ever since the day I was born, I was raised to do the right thing. After leaving home, being on my own, I found other from raised the same. I tried helping people out of being a good except for everyone. Now I sit at home waiting by the phone, dial 911. Hear you creeping around my back door. Got a 16-gauge waiting for the 4-4. Here I stand for my ride, there on. I just didn't think that I'd ever have to take this fall. Yeah, look outside, yeah, open my blinds, just a little bit of lighting. Just out front, I can see a group of children being up some kid. I watched Dougie's go by, one by one, go by and expect high. And I'm doing everything I can do to save, take my wife. I can hear you creeping out my back door. Got a 16-gauge waiting for the phone. Here I stand for my ride, bear on. I just didn't think that I'd ever have to take this fall. I just didn't think I'd ever have to take this fall. Work too hard for any y'all trying to take what I had. Work too hard for any y'all trying to take what I have. Work too hard for any y'all trying to take what I have. Work too hard for any y'all trying to take what I have. I can hear you creeping around my back door. Got a 16-gauge waiting for the cold. Here I stand with my ride, bear on. Got my 16-gauge loaded for the 4-4. Yeah, I stand by my right to bear arms. I just didn't think that I'd ever have to take.
this far with River Mason, our guest here on the Music America podcast as we kick off the week in South Carolina. River, you sent me a live version of this next song, and you sent me a more studio version, which thank you, because the live version, as fun as it was 16 minutes long. And when you're doing a show, it's about an hour long. You don't want to eat, you know, a fourth of it up by one song. So thank you for that. This one is called Ain't Coming Back, but it also might be She Ain't Coming Back. How do you explain it? It was really funny how you just said that.
So I introduce it to every single show I do. I introduce it, She Ain't Coming Back or Ain't Coming Back. I think it's titled on YouTube different than it is TikTok and Facebook. But it ain't on the record yet, so I still got some time.
You got some time to figure it out, whether or not it's going to be about she or not, huh?
That will be a sneak peek what we're going to be hearing.
Yeah. So this has not been released yet? Is that right?
It's been unofficially released on, you know, some of the, like, video media platforms. But as far as Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Amazon Music, and all of the other major platforms, it's still under the radar.
Uh-huh. Now, you made mention earlier about your wife, so I know this ain't about her.
Yeah, so my wife is a travel nurse, and it's because of her job that I've been able to go clear across the country.
Oh, wow.
Playing these shows. It started out to where I said, hey, you know, let me buy this guitar real quick. And then I had a buddy from Nashville, Shad Story, real good musician. Y'all look him up, Shad Story. Mm-hmm. He said, well, damn it, you need to get in there and just take that new guitar of yours and just see if there's somebody behind the bar to let you play for a little bit. And it was all over for there. I got the PA and everything.
No kidding.
Been my rock, I tell you. We've been together 11 or 12 years.
It's been
amazing. But there's dualities to that, so you know, some songs are good about her, some songs ain't good about
her. let's not get anybody in trouble by saying which is which.
But this song that we're about to listen to, I've actually taken a little bit of inspiration from my all-time favorite record called Phases and Stages by Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
This was a concept record, forgive me, a concept record about a woman and a man going through a divorce. Mm. Now, he was married to his wife at the time, and they were having a great time. They were going through no hardships or struggles. So this was really just a theoretical record for him. It wasn't autobiographical at all. Mm-hmm. It told somebody else's story. Side A was about the man leaving, and side B was about the woman leaving. And it showed the dualities of how those two things can look at the same time, but for two different people. It was a genius record.
Wow.
But I took inspiration from that in a way that I wanted to write a song that I wasn't going through. So in this song, you know, my wife wasn't going nowhere, but I wanted to put myself in the shoes of somebody who might be going through that and explore those types of themes. And I think that's an important thing to do as a narrator and a songwriter, too. They don't all have to be about you, per se.
Right. It's going to be about writing a story and being able to relate the story, making it relatable, make the story relatable.
Sure.
Cool. She Ain't Coming Back. The next song we hear from River Mason here on the Music America podcast.
It ain't a slamming or missing. It doesn't walk this fairy. It ain't a medical. Love anymore. Oh, he ain't hard to figure out. Right there on the wall. She ain't coming back to me. Ain't coming back at all. Gonna need a doctor. Tell me why my heart is broke. Explain what she wrote. I don't need a detective. Just tell me it's all effective. You can save your money.
back. Ain't a subliminal message. Doesn't want this marriage. It ain't committed for. Woman, don't love me no more. It ain't that hard to figure out. I'm right there on the wall.
Ain't coming back. River Mason, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard, introducing you to Trevor and Eileen Bild of OTEL, which is Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, O-T-E-L, in the OTEL universe. They've created, produce, and manage the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, OTEL Music Videos. They love to give back and help others get seen and heard. That's kind of like their life legacy, and they're welcoming all new submissions from all sorts of genres. Go to their website, which is www.oteluniverse.com. Click on the What is Roku tab. There'll be a drop-down menu where you can click on Roku channels, then you can complete and submit your video there, and you'll be on their Roku channel. Now, Roku is seen in 159 countries. They've got a viewership of over 80 million people worldwide. Be sure to add their channel to your Roku menu, watch and give them 5 stars, and upload your videos and expose yourself to that audience that OTEL Universe has to offer. www.otel, like hotel without the H, oteluniverse.com. We're with River Mason, and we're in South Carolina all this week on the Music of America podcast, off the mountain. We were talking off camera when we first talked about this. We talked about like my perception of Ohio, where you're from originally, and my last radio gig was in Vail, Colorado. Okay. And people, I met people that used to ski in Ohio. I went, no way.
Yeah.
And you said there's quite a bit of skiing. So it made me think about that with Off the Mountain. Made me think of this lady, Patty, that I worked with that was from Cleveland. And that's where she learned how to ski. And she loves skiing. She's a great skier. I'm like, how do you ski so well on this powder if you're used to skiing on ice? She goes, that's how you get good. But is your Off the Mountain, your Off the Mountain song is not necessarily about skiing, I'm guessing, right?
It's not. I mean, it's got a heck of a storyline to it. You know, when we had just got done talking about She Ain't Coming Back, which was a song I didn't write about myself. This was another one of those that I overheard couple people talking at the grocery store in a small town called Luray, Virginia. And this was about a year ago, almost to the month, that we had, don't quote me on this, but over 200 acres of the Shenandoah National Forest go up in smoke from about 14 different wildfires. And those numbers might be a little off, but it's quite a thing. But I overheard this these people talking about how their parents were refusing evacuation orders off of New Market Mountain, which was one of these real big Appalachian holler, but it went up the hill, and it was just crazy that people even managed to build anything up there. It was absolutely amazing, stunning. Mm-hmm. But I took kind of the liberty to, paint the picture just judging off of that single statement that they wasn't wanting to come down, because I couldn't at the time wrap my head around why. But in exploring in that, in the song, I actually kind of come to my own conclusion that, you know, if it was anything like how it happened in this song, which it probably wasn't, but it could have been. I began to kind of see a little bit of empathetic viewpoint from these hypothetical people, The guy, you know, he serves in the military. He gets his house on the GI Bill. They built it up on that mountain. It was a hell of a venture to get it all up there.
Yeah.
He meets his wife down at the school at the end of the lane in Luray. She moves in, decorates the cabin, right? He can't stand it. Looking around, you know, it used to be his bachelor pad. They have a couple kids, and then, you know, when it comes down to what's happening on the property with the fires, he says he looks around at this place, and he can't help but feel her memory everywhere.
Wow.
He looks around at these memories and paintings and says hello to these walls, which is a callback memory to her.
Yeah, old Fair and Young.
Walls, yes, yes. Willie Nelson, the original writer for that as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a Fair and Young song.
Got a dang good cover of it, and it's a good story, too.
Yeah.
Far after they debuted it, everybody was walking around the establishment saying shit like, hello, commode. Hello. Hello, Wenda. Hello, Barstool.
Oh, funny.
Fucking fun at the song. But, you know, so it's revealed that she ain't around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And him. And that's why he doesn't, you know, kind of a captain going down with the ship type of ordeal.
Yeah.
He's going to save this property, or heck, I've already spun around this earth 80 some times, around this sun 80 times, you know. Maybe it's time for me to just hang up the old hat. And that was kind of it's a darker kind of song, but I think it paints a beautiful story, and I really hope you guys like it.
Cool. Can't wait to hear it. Off the Mountain, River Mason, our guest here on the Music of America podcast.
Thank you.
Fresh out of York, with a scar and a GI Bill. And now, ball means playing at the top of the hill. Hold all we need, potted out some flat land. Paint foundation in the spring and in the winter, we moved in. Life that I met down at the school. Here in the rain, decorative cabin in her own soul way. Throw pillows and blankets, plants, and a brand new rug. Drove me crazy back then, but I've grown love all this stuff. come on down. Down from the mountain to the safety in town. It's getting hotter and the smoke's getting thick.
Off the Mountain with River Mason, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. River, we just had a really good conversation off mic, and I just said this like a week ago, too. I think the outtakes of this show are just as entertaining as the interviews, because some of the stories we talk about. I asked you the question, how many guitars does a guitar player need? And the answer is one more. I was on a quest to find the perfect Tele. I needed a Tele. I did not have a Tele in my collection. And I didn't like the Teles I was picking up because they just sounded too bright and too nasally, you know. I found a Tele that sounds like a Tele that mated with a Strat because I'm a blues guy. So it's got a deeper, richer, low end to it, but still has that bright Tele sound to it. I am in heaven. And then we get a song. And you made reference to this earlier about your grandpa's, your granddaddy's Tele. I know you wrote a song about it. So tell me about your Tele.
So, the Tele that started it all was a 1972 Semihol body HH configuration Telecaster.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely beautiful, and I'd watch granddad play it. I must have been 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 before I started picking things up my own. But it was captivating. He didn't play country music. He was a blues man through and through, and he would play songs in the 1-4-5, just these amazing little rhythm sections that really just carried the beat. There didn't need to be anybody there. And I think with that hollow body, it also adds a lot of room to the air, if you will, energy that wouldn't necessarily be there. And I've always gravitated to the Telecaster because of that. But also, I'm trying to build me a semi-hollow body for in memory of him.
Oh, wow.
That guitar was, my granddaddy was an interesting man. And he went through a lot of different hardships, and that guitar, the 72, was ended up replaced with a Squire reissue 72 Telecaster. Right. Same guitar, same exact color, same exact fretboard radius, I mean, down to the nut, right?
Uh-huh.
But it was a Squire, so we didn't know that. He passed away in, I believe, 21.
Okay.
Phoenix, Arizona, and it killed me not to be able to be there, but that's when I wrote Granddaddy's Tele. So when I recorded in Luray, Virginia, I actually met my father to go pick up that guitar, and that's when I found out that it was not the original 1972 Fender Telecaster, but it was a custom copy replica reissue from Squire. Which it doesn't matter to me, but we were thinking that, you know, this was a irreplaceable, hell, it's a vintage at this point in time.
Right, right.
It's vintage all the way up to like 92's vintage now. Can you believe
it? Yeah.
But this guitar, it still sounds great. I drove from the hills of Northern Virginia to meet my father to exchange that guitar. I brought it back to the recording studio, and I used that guitar for 1 minute and 30 seconds on a 53-minute long album. And I drove almost 20 hours to do so.
And well worth the drive, right?
Well worth the drive. The kicker of it is you know, we got into a lot of my musical influences earlier, but I hadn't mentioned any of my metal influences. I grew up listening to a lot of hardcore deathcore metal.
No kidding. I never would have gathered that. No.
Absolutely. As I Lay Dying, Through the Eyes of the Dead were kind of like my staple band back in the day. Pantera, obviously, man.
Yeah.
Rage. So when I had that guitar for that week that I was recording the record, I was messing around on there, and I was playing some Rage Against the Machine right before I went to the studio.
Oh, wow.
So I put down on the ground, and I didn't adjust any of the settings or anything. So that guitar solo on this country Americana record sounds like something Dimebag Darrell might have recorded in the studio. I mean, it ain't that good. Don't get me wrong. It's that old metalcore tone that's on record, and I didn't notice it until it was already in there, and I said, you know what, it is what it is. I ain't driving another 20 hours to redo it.
Great.
Always on, not only in that song, but also in that guitar solo for better or for worse, you know. All of my solos are improvised, so there are pitch issues, but I love imperfections in music, and that's what he was a lot about. You know, he wasn't afraid to hit the wrong note and slide a fret up or down.
Right. That's an old blues trick, man. It's not playing the wrong note. It's where you end up. It's not what note you played. It's like where you end up.
You weren't wrong. You just weren't there yet.
I love that you weren't there yet. We're going to hear some of that in Granddaddy's Telling?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, let's give it a listen. Granddaddy's Telling, River Mason, our guest here on the Music of America podcast.
Was a natural fence to my hollow body guitar. Plug it into whatever he found. Pick some blues after putting down the harp. That 12-bar shuffling ain't in my mind. Fast as lightning up and down the maple fretboard. Cigarette burn barely held between his lips. Some people said he lived his life a little backwards, but he just kept picking and he never missed a lick. Granddaddy's Telling, Granddaddy's Telling. Picked the blues cause he lived his whole life. Granddaddy's Telling, Granddaddy's Telling. Think about the two of them all. Many months hanging on a pawn shop wall. A little bit of money would help him get by. Wanted 10 grand, but it wasn't worth much. Oh, take $100 all alone, but he'd pay it back in due time. Grandpa get paid in one of the many ways he could. Drive into town and paid back what he owed. Lived his life highly misunderstood, but he kept on picking cause it's all that he ever known. Granddaddy's Telling, Granddaddy's Telling. Picked the blues cause he lived him his whole life. Granddaddy's Telling, Granddaddy's Telling. Yeah, think about the two of them all the time. fingers, they don't get around like they used to. Notes the chords, licks, they don't ring true. One of these days I'll brush the dust up off. I'll do my best to pick me out the blues. One of these days I will brush the dust up off it.
It's the same thing you play up here, but in a higher
tell it, yeah. I think about the two of them all the time. Yeah, think about the two of them all the time.
Granddaddy's Telly, our guest River Mason, here on the Music of America podcast. We have all done this before, right? You find that perfect tone you're looking for, and then the club owner walks up and says, hey, you know what? You're a little too loud there. You got to change that, which you've spent all day trying to achieve, you know, where that tone, you know, where you're always in the sweet spot. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. The Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage plexi circuit. It has a rhythm crunch channel with a boosted lead channel, digital reverb, a tube buffered effects loop, depth control, an awesome voice switch, has considerably more gain than a plexi does at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert level volumes. It's designed to be played at those lower volumes without losing that tonal quality. The two channels each have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ. It's really clever. Check it out at Landry Amps or at Bill Landry's YouTube channel, www.landryamps.com. or Bill Landry Amps on YouTube. Bill will actually walk you through all of the amps that he can build for you and say, well, here's how this is different from this, and here's how this is different from this. It's really cool. He's got the LS30, weighs less than 25 pounds. Great amp, and it's so easy to carry around. Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. We got one more song coming our way with our guest today, River Mason, who kicks off the week in South Carolina. The song is called We All Need Help. Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
What's it about?
This song's special to me. You know, I've been diagnosed with a myriad of different acronyms and four-letter words, you know, and it's hard to keep track of sometimes. At the end of the day, even if you haven't been diagnosed, I do firmly believe that everybody could benefit by having somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And this isn't an advertisement for any of these apps, but it's more of a cry for us to get back to where we were as a society that wasn't afraid to have conversations with each other, that wasn't afraid to ask, hey, how are you doing, instead of just sending the damn like on Facebook or something like that. I really believe that we've kind of strayed real far away from each other, except for in these very select social circles. And a lot of that's because of a lot of the isolation that people are feeling because of, you know, some of the thoughts that they have. And, you know, it comes back to the duality of track number one on the record this far. Yeah. You know, it's the direct answer. You know, we should have that right to bear arms, but we should also be helping people who might do nefarious things with said firearms, because we all need help.
Yeah.
And it's important to be, you know, vocal about what you're going through, whatever it is you're going through. And this is something that I've gone through all my life, is supporting something and then being sad when something bad happens about the things that I support. And it's hard to see some of the things that we use as a society kind of go away, like the telehealth thing. We use that a lot, and it helps out a lot, you know. And it's just good to have somebody to talk to keep your feelings straight. Between that and music, I feel like I've got kind of everything balanced out pretty well for the first time in my life.
Well, music is such great therapy for just that, you know. When you find me one musician that's having a bad day that doesn't sit down at a piano, pick up their guitar, whatever, play for an hour, and then walk away feeling better.
Yep.
They don't exist. Such good therapy. And we all need it because we all need help. The last song we're going to hear from River Mason here on the Music of America podcast.
We all need help. We all need help. There's a man with a gun. We all need help. We all need help. We all need help. This world ain't no fun. We all need help. People sitting around trying to figure out what the hell is going on. While all the violence, moments of silence, there's got to be something going wrong. Is it the TV? Is it the screens? Maybe it's the internet. Well, but I fear you want somebody to hear me. I think the problem's in our head. We all need help. We all need help. There's a man with a gun. This world ain't no fun. We all need help. Go ahead and call. Make sure to call them all, but they say the same thing. We're all booked. Here's where you can look. Sometimes help can't wait. Money's an issue. Please take a tissue. I'm sorry you're not insured. Guess that's fine, not like I had time to take a second off of work. We all need help. We all need help. It's a man with a gun. We all need help. We all need help. We all need help. This world ain't no fun, we all need help.
We all need help. I say that to myself every day when I wake up. River Mason, our guest here as we kick off the week in South Carolina. The last segment of the show, River, we call Shameless Self-Promotion. But before we get into that, I think we should give a shout-out to your bandmates. Why don't you tell us who all makes up your band and what they do and so on and so forth.
So I've just been over the moon about how much support I've gotten at these solo shows. And doing it for the last year and a half, real hardcore. Full-time around the clock, but there's been a missing element to this. And that's the boys in the band. I've got my bassist. He plays this upright electric bass that looks something like out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It is just, it's fretless, so it gets that cool tone. But that's Chris Swordlett on the bass. And then I've got behind me, usually behind me if we have enough room, we got John Strange on the drums. And John is just a straight killer on that kit. I tell you, we give him an opportunity to do a drum solo every night because he deserves it. He deserves to. But we've been touring, or not been touring, but we've been playing a lot here in Charleston. I'm at like 4, 5, 6 shows a month.
Wow.
Which is pretty good considering we just kicked this thing off in January. So,
no kidding. Wow.
We're really plucking away at this and having a real good time. We've just added another musician to the lineup, Mr. Preston Taylor. Preston is a young buck, but he has got some chops on him. He's going to fill in on some lead guitar. And the eventual work is that, you know, it's going to be a dual Telecaster band.
Oh, wow.
And we've got some really cool guitar harmonies and guitar talkback solos that are all designed and planned for the band. And it's super exciting. We had a show last night. Everything went real well. And we've been uploading, and not to get too far into the musical promotion part, but everything is on YouTube that we do. So almost every night that, at least the night that things go right and sound good,
yeah,
they put it onto the YouTube, try to do that every Monday after the following weekend so everybody can see back home. And we've been getting a lot of good following and reception and feedback from that too.
Well, let's just use that as the platform to go into this next segment that we call Shameless Self-Promotion. And how do we find you? How do we support you? How do we buy your records and your merch and all that fun stuff?
Absolutely. So right now we've got the Viper Room, which was released last year in May. That's on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Amazon Music, and a few other platforms that I don't even know the names of.
Do you use SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, CD Baby?
Now, for the true fans out there, they're going to know about the SoundCloud, but there's some rough recordings and demos back there in the Wayback Machine, probably 12, 15 years old, I think.
The Wayback Machine.
So be careful what you end up hearing back. There was a point in time to where I wasn't this good, but weren't we all?
That's right. Yeah. A picker buddy of mine in Peoria told me once he hadn't seen me play in like 20 years, and I went up to see him before I moved to Vermont, and I was playing with him one day. He goes, "Oh, Tom, you got a lot better now. I remember you playing." I said, "Well, Keith, it's been 20 years. I said, I'm still not as good as you." And he goes, "It's what he says." He goes, "Well, Norb over here, he can't play for crap, but he still plays." He says, "Tom, just remember, there's always going to be pickers gooder than you and worser than you."
I love that. I draw a lot of inspiration from people that ain't very good because they're doing great jobs at it. They're making money, they're staying busy, and you know, they're having a good time doing what they do, and that's what life is about, really.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah, but I've got a YouTube channel that I've had over there for about probably 15 years. That's River Mason Music on YouTube. Facebook, we have a Facebook band page, the River Mason Band, and then we also have River Mason Music for my solo stuff. Go ahead and follow me there. I've even got a Reddit fan page that's starting to accumulate a couple of followers over there, some Instagram people, and I got a TikTok account that I post a video whenever I remember that I have a TikTok.
And that's where we can find the 16-minute version of She Ain't Coming Back?
That's it. And along with all of the other, you know, we've got full sets in there. It took a little bit of learning to do these edits and cuttings, as I'm sure you know. It's not easy. So, you know, you take a set break, and then you don't want, you know, the 4 hours worth of just everybody chipper chattering.
Right.
But there's some pretty cool stuff there that you guys can find up on the YouTube and all on the other social medias.
And that's River Mason Music at YouTube.
That's it.
Cool. River, my offer extends to you. Hopefully I'll see you in about a month or so when I get out there. I'll be in Charleston in mid-May. And depending on where I end up landing, I know I'll be there for a few days in Charleston itself. But afterwards, I'll either be in Folly or Edisto or Myrtle Beach, one of the three.
Okay.
We'll hopefully catch you at Planet Follywood.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. And anybody listening that might be in the area, come out and see a show.
Just watch for him everywhere. River Mason, our guest here on the Music America podcast. Tomorrow, we stay in Charleston. So join us as we meet Frank Royster, our guest tomorrow here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast.